Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the things we did not get to during the course of the show today, including some off-air growth on behalf of Betty Rock. She loves food, and she's very passionate about it, and she's very possessive of it. My wife sends in food that she likes that we make for her, and buffalo chicken dip is one of the big ones. Mm-hmm. And so my wife, though, did not have two containers because Gavin likes it as well. And so we had enough that we were like, oh, yeah, let's send it for both of them. And she just put it in one container, and she wrote on the thing, Betty Wu, this is to share. And Betty, because Betty, I told her, I said, good news and bad news this morning when she came in, like, good news, you get buffalo chicken. I'm like, yay, bad news, you have to share. No, she's so upset. But you did actually offer to share with Gavin.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said no. And then you actually offered to give him his half, which was so nice of you.
Right?
Yeah.
I think so, too. So, yeah, like, there was only one container, and I was asked to share, which is not my problem. Like, if there's only one container and it has my name on it, well, then I think it's mine.
Yeah. Or your responsibility to make sure that he gets half of it.
Well, anyway, so, yeah, I heated mine up for breakfast this morning. Does it sound like a hearty, healthy breakfast meal?
No. It's something.
But the fact you can eat that for breakfast is, like, we call her Betty Rock because she's got a rock gut. Like, I don't know how you do that for breakfast.
I think that this show, like doing the morning show, I feel like makes almost anything free game for breakfast in my head.
Yeah.
Because I feel like because you start your day so early, like the hours that transpose between, like some people can wake up at 9 and eat lunch 3 hours later. This is just our version of that.
We used to have, when I worked in Atlanta doing mainstream radio, we had a deal with the Palm restaurant. Are you familiar with the Palm? They have one down here in Nashville.
So fancy.
It is very fancy. And they had a chef that would come in and cook for us every once in a while. And he would bring in these 5-pound lobsters. And we would have lobster at 7 a.m. and
so
just
weird.
Dripping in butter. And I mean, it was good. But I will tell you, it wreaked havoc on you, like your stomach. Your stomach is not meant to have lobster filled with butter at 5 a.m. or 7 a.m. And it's not meant to have buffalo chicken dip that
early.
Well,
I think
either.
The same could be said for you when you're eating handfuls of candy that early in the morning. Like, is that really necessary?
I've been doing trail mix today. Well, not trail
Nature's
mix.
Nature's candy.
Yeah, raisins and peanuts.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Those are good foods for you, though.
Yeah, that's been my snack today. But yeah, I can't do the thing. We also used to have a Mexican place that would bring us breakfast in the morning. Always a disaster.
Y'all's bathroom must have been pretty
always, always a disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm glad we don't do that anymore. Although I do miss, in mainstream radio, you get so many freebies. It's unfathomable.
Must be nice.
Yeah, and you'd have like all these deals, like endorsement deals and things like that. Like one of the ladies on our show, she got 2 airline tickets a month, first class. Wherever she wanted to fly because of her deal. Yeah.
Nice.
And she could hold on to them so she could rack them up throughout the year and then use them for friends and family and things like that. It was crazy the amount of perks that came with that business. And then you come here and I'm like, oh, yeah. So you got, 24 airline tickets? I got eternal life. So check that. So I'm winning. I'm winning.
Winning.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's get into some of the stuff from today. Apparently, Mary Poppins isn't PC enough for our modern world anymore.
What?
You're like, what? I know, it's funny. I did dig into it a little bit. So at first, my alarm bells go off because I'll go off half-cocked on a headline, and then I need to look into it.
And
but
what made you decide to look more into it? Because that's out of character for you.
Yeah, because I with especially things that are like discriminatory and things like that, you want to make sure that you have your facts right because it always will come back to bite you, or you'll have somebody that will debate you and go, you didn't know this, and then you look like an idiot, especially if you're taking a really strong stance on it. So, like, that's where I want to have my facts right.
But once again, that's never stopped you before.
Yeah, I'm growing. It's growth. Yeah.
Oh, we're both
a lot
growing.
Of growth.
Yeah, today's a lot of growth.
Good job,
here.
Guys.
But Mary Poppins received a new rating from the United Kingdom due to discriminatory language. Apparently, they are now, instead of being a U rating, they are a PG rating for the 1964 film for its use of the word Hottentots. Yeah. And you're like,
what is that?
That's what I had to look up because I'm like, what's wrong with Hottentots? It sounds like a nonsense word.
What did they? Was it in a song? Or
the admiral who would fire the cannon, he goes, it looks like we're being attacked by a group of savage Hottentots and cheeky little devils, you know, or whatever. Uh-huh. And so when you look at it, you go, okay. I'm not sure what it means. I'm going to read this verbatim because it still is a little weird. Hottentot is a term which refers to the Keokoi people. And it's considered offensive to that group of people who I don't know who these people are. I don't know that any of us still know these people. The dictionary defines them as referring to a member of any of a group of the Coesian speaking pastoral peoples of South Africa and or the people that speak this language. So the term was used twice in the movie by the admiral. And so here's where I'm like, I don't go along with political correctness. And the funny thing about this word is like no one would know what it meant, you know, today because it's not relevant. And so you go, you're bringing it up and you're maybe making an issue where there wasn't an issue because no one knew what it is. Mm-hmm. But apparently somebody did. Mm-hmm. So basically, I think where it gets a little where you go, oh, I kind of see it, where he's directing that term towards a group of people who are all dressed in black. They have soot all over their face because they're chimney sweeps. And then he's like, we're being invaded by Hottentots, you cheeky devils. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where, so that's where you go, okay, now when somebody was writing this in 1964, racial relations were completely different, but it doesn't make it right. But it's interesting that somebody would write something that is like referring to a attack of a group of people. Now I'm inferring the part about the dress and the sooted face because that's what modern culture would see, and I'm like, did this person who wrote this, because it's supposed to be this admiral, like, was there an actual war where his generation would have fought this group of people known as the that's the derogatory term for them. So the Koki-Koi people, you know. And mm-hmm. So you're like, why did that even make it in there, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious as to the writers and who did this. And so, yeah, at first I was like, this is crazy. Come on, guys. But then you're like, oh, okay.
It's got a few, like, interesting levels to it. And it's also good because I feel like it's also a movie that I remember watching at a really young age. And so, yeah, it's like if you're watching it with your 8-year-old, stop the movie and explain to them or try and skip a scene like that when that might just go right over their head.
They wouldn't know.
Would it be
no
educational?
One would know.
At some point, yeah, like you were saying, it almost feels like the kind of thing that's okay if you just don't bring it
because
up.
Because someone, you know, that whole tree falls in a forest, does it make a sound if no one's around? Because no one picked up on it, does it make it less racial, you know?
Mm-mm,
and
sure.
But it doesn't, you know? No. And because if one person does, then it is, you know? So anyway, it's fascinating that came out now. But I don't know. Did you guys see the new version of Mary Poppins?
With Emily Blunt?
Yes, and she was fantastic. I'm curious if it was in that, because this was in the 1964 version. So did somebody, when they're redoing the new one, did that come up? Because wasn't it just the same story?
No. She was visiting the kids,
the older,
grown up.
That's
and
right.
He and the son had a few kids, but the wife had passed, so she
was
there
to
help them.
That's right.
So it was a future version.
I couldn't remember that. Yeah, I thought it was. I do remember I liked it, but I couldn't remember all the ins and outs of it. My mom fell asleep in it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's a slow, fun movie though.
Well, I mean, I'm not really surprised that they gave it a PG rating, just because nowadays, like, when you watch anything on Disney, back in the day they used to smoke and not think anything of it.
Right.
Now they're like, this is rated R because there is smoking. Like, what?
I love when Pluto in a cartoon drowned a cat, you know, and they're like, yeah, that happens. Dogs and cats are always funny.
But the cat lived, just so everyone knows.
I'm not sure.
It did. I know which one you're talking about.
It went
down a well.
That's right, yeah.
And he I don't think he put it down there. It fell down there and he rescued it.
I think he knocked it down there and had to go get it. Like, he felt bad.
Because there was an angel and a devil on his
shoulders. Yeah, because he did it. And then he had to go. It's like, oh, nuts. I think we all have those moments of, oh, nuts. I got an angel. angel and devil on my shoulder. At least they didn't cancel the movie, you know, so maybe we're making some progress where they go, okay, let's look at this one little part and, you know, take it for what it's worth. And then
why didn't they just cut it out or something?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so there you go. That's that. What do you got, Lady Rock?
A couple of people with their stage names. Some of these people, I didn't even realize it was a stage name. And looking back, I guess I should have known that.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Why would anybody call their kid that? So a couple of those and the stories behind them. So Snoop Dogg.
Yes.
Okay. That's a stage name.
D-O-G.
When he came into this world, his mom didn't say, I know what his name is. Call him Snoop Dogg.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Is it Calvin Brodus?
You're close.
Calvin.
No.
What?
His first name is Cordozer.
What?
Calvin Brodus Jr.
Oh, okay, yeah, Calvin Brodus. I've never heard him go by the
Cordozer.
I've heard him referred to as Calvin Brodus. I've never heard of the first name even.
And he's a junior too.
Oh wow, look at that.
Cordozer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Calvin. But you're wondering, well, where did he get the name Snoop Dogg? Well, it was a nickname that his parents gave him because they said he looked like the famous cartoon dog.
No, so it wasn't even like a rap thing. It was his parents. That's fascinating because I figured it was a rap thing when he was coming up. That's what it was because
it's
hard.
Organic though. Yeah, that's cool.
It's hard doing it's life in the LBC. It's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G.
Okay.
Yeah.
Post Malone. His actual name is not Post Malone. It's something Malone. I never thought about. His real name is Austin Post.
Oh.
There's
okay.
no Malone.
No, there's no Malone, and you're wondering, well, where did he get that? Well, when he was 14 years old, he needed a name for his mixtape. So he plugged in his real name, Austin Post, into a random rap name generator. And it spat out Post Malone.
And he kept it.
What
and
a millennial.
He went with it.
That's so interesting. Cool. Well, yeah. Toby Mac is not his real name.
No.
It's Tobias McKeon. But what is it? I always get this confused. They had Kevin. It's Tobias. Wait. Kevin Michael McKeon. But they also had a Kevin and a Michael in the band DC Talk, so he couldn't be either of them.
So confusing.
And so, I know. And so he went with Toby.
Wait, so his name is Tobias?
No, his name is Kevin Michael McKeon. Or Michael Kevin McKeon. I forget. But Tobias was a nickname. Toby was a nickname that he had and back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Like from his family. So.
And then finally, LL Cool J.
Yes. Mama said knock you out.
Do you know what LL Cool J stands for?
Little
LL
light footed. I don't know.
It means ladies love cool J.
Yes. Oh,
I remember that.
Okay.
So good.
Okay,
there you go. That sounds like when he made up himself.
He did. Yeah. So back in the day, his real name is James Todd Smith.
Okay.
And when him and his buddy were 16 years old, they were wanting to look cooler to the girls.
Yeah.
And so he started calling himself LL Cool J, stands for ladies love cool
LL
James.
Stand for?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he did admit later, he said, it was just wishful thinking, just hoping for the best.
I know. You put that out there, you're like, maybe this is going to stick.
But for you to stay with that, like he's what, now in his 50s?
Yeah.
And still sticking with LL Cool J?
The best nicknames are the ones that other people give you, you know, usually are like the most authentic, you know, kind of thing. Because so many times your nicknames are aspirational like that, you know, when it's what you want to be. Mm-hmm. But when somebody else gives you the nickname, it's more based in reality. Sometimes mean.
Well, to me, sticking with LL Cool J sounds like you're sticking with the email that you made up when you were 15.
Yeah.
It's like those emails are not the best. You know, like they're like, I love cats and rainbows at gmail.com. Yeah. You know,
I had one that was, what was it called? Hot Wings 16.
No, you did not.
Yeah.
Why?
You like hot wings?
Really? I don't remember why.
That's so funny.
I want to say it was something for a girl I liked.
Probably.
But yeah, that exists, I think.
That's
Although I
funny.
Think, I think there was something that came out recently where it said that if you haven't logged into a Google account for a while,
they were deleting it.
So I'm sure hotwings16 at gmail.com is
Try emailing
available.
That today and see what happens.
I have no
you
clue.
You need to figure out what your password was. I'm curious about like celebrities that it's not their real name. When do they actually change their name to, you know, LL Cool J, where it's legal? Mm-hmm. Or is it like a business thing where you can do something called doing business as a DBA, where you still are the entity, mm-hmm. like a company, basically, but you can do it as, you know, someone can write a check to that, you know, really? Name, and it would, and it goes to your account, even if it's not your legal name. It's a DBA. And a lot of people use that for like quick companies,
sure,
and not like doing a corporation, because corporations cost you a lot more money and take more time to set up. So you can do like I used to have bank accounts that were doing business as bank accounts for like production work and stuff that I did that I wanted a company name instead of just my name. And so I did that. So I'm curious how they get
professional.
Paid. Yeah, curious how they get paid. What do you got, Lady Rock, for the birthday situation?
I only have one, and it's from the Clausens, your favorite Canadians.
Oh, nice. Who's having the birthday?
They said Lauren, our son's girlfriend.
Oh, okay, because that's what I'm like. Lauren, I'm like, wait, now it's John and Elizabeth, and there's okay.
So your son's girlfriend.
There you go,
Lauren. Happy birthday! They said she's creative, funny, and a great cook.
I'm curious if she's Canadian. Or did their son go outside the Canadian world and find an American girl? I'm curious.
What would happen if Haley, your daughter,
hypothetically,
found a man that she loved and he was Canadian?
I've watched too much. Like, you might as well be Nigerian at that point, you know, because it doesn't matter. Like, you don't get a break just because they're Canadian. But going through the K-1 visa, I've watched too much of 90 Day Fiancé. I would be like, no, don't. Break it off before it gets serious. You're just the headaches of this. It's just not worth it. And the cost of it. You could find somebody here. You'll be fine.
you'll
find love again. Yeah, I mean, you'll find it again. It's not worth
you'll
the headache.
But if it's a transplant Canadian,
they're already here.
They are already here, but they are Canadian.
Sure.
They still know the national anthem. Maybe sing it every day.
Yeah. And like they're already here, and you don't have to go through the K-1 stuff. Fine, but I'm gonna keep my eye on you.
I'm not gonna be happy about it.
No, I'm not gonna be happy about it. I'm gonna keep my eye on you.
They're too nice.
And they want to have their wedding in Canada.
No, absolutely not. No, no,
American bacon.
No, that's not. That's ham. That's all that is ham. It's not Canadian bacon. It's not bacon. It's ham.
Catered by Tim, to whatever it's called. Am I crazy here?
Yeah.
Tim Norton's. There it is.
Oh, Tim Norton's is Canadian.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Let me check.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I don't want to be wrong.
Question.
Yes.
They asked if you could do something special, cost is not an issue, only every leap year.
Oh.
What would it be?
Oh, every 4 years. We just talked about leap year today.
So something special.
Mm-hmm. Money's no object.
Oh, money's no object.
But you would want to do it every 4 years.
Oof. Go to space. Just to see if it's changed. Money's no object.
See if it changed.
Yeah, I want to go. I want to see how much junk's up there now. Like, how much did we put up there?
No,
every 4 years. That'd be awesome.
Every 4 years, what would I want to do?
Or ride in a submarine. Or ride. Oh, it'd be great to ride like in a Blue Angels plane. And the Thunderbirds, they're so great.
No, that's where you get like people faint.
They try to make you like the pilots. Like, pilots are by nature, because they can do it and they know how to not pass out. Like, you clench your legs and your hiney and stuff, and you have to grunt like and it keeps you from passing out. Yeah,
really?
Like when you're pulling G's. Yeah, when you're pulling G's, it's what they have a technique to help keep them from passing out. But it's funny, like, if you ever go fly with these guys, they will be like, okay, we're going to take you up. We're going to put you through it. And they try to make you throw up or pass out, like, because they want to see you. They want you to give you the full experience.
So you want to experience that?
I will, yeah. I've been in a biplane before, like the open cockpit biplane. It was a promotion with Red Baron. And I'm like,
the pizza company?
Yeah. And so, like, old school biplane. And I remember getting in that and we were taping it. And I was talking to the pilot, and I'm like, I got to tell you, like, I grew up flying, like, I love flying, but I've never done aerobatic stuff, so I'm a smidge nervous. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, don't worry, it'll be fine, but I am going to make you throw up.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, are you serious? He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, straight up, that's what's happening. And so he takes off, and he just put me through it, man. We did an outside loop. You know, normally you go near inside, and so you're basically, if you draw a circle like this, your body would be on the inside going this way. Mm. He did an outside loop where the plane is inverted and you're going up like this, and then you're coming upside down at the base. And so you get weightless, and then you get slammed into your seat. Mm-mm. And I almost threw up on that one. I didn't throw up, but I almost threw up on that
one. Were you kind of proud that you didn't?
I was very proud that I didn't, because he tried
to. He guaranteed it. If he's like, this is what I'm doing to you.
Yeah, yeah. He tried to make me throw up, but I did not. I was very proud of that.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Guys are different than girls, though. Guys are like that.
Gavin isn't.
Oh, what?
What? Guys are like that. You want to put your guys' friends in awkward situations. And
to make
you
want to
test them. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm sure you're like, you have manly buddies. I'm sure they pick on you all the time.
I am the manly buddy to some.
Really?
No.
To like a 4-year-old girl?
My kid is going to be the only, and only for like a little while.
Yeah.
I hope it's a girl.
I hope you have a girl too. I've been thinking about that a lot lately.
Because you don't want him to get bullied by his
Right, yeah.
Unless I have like a girl that's just like got all of the past genes of height.
Yeah.
That would get me. If my daughter, and again, love him to death, but if my daughter was like 5'8" or 5'9".
Yeah, because I think if you had a son, it would be my hypothetical son, Hayden, that Betty has given me.
Hayden is on my prayer list. Honestly, he's gone through a lot.
I don't want Bennett to be on prayer lists.
Yeah, it's so funny. Betty takes me through these crazy scenarios of my hypothetical son Hayden and how much I don't like him because he's so not like me.
Yesterday, hypothetically, he was homeless, living in a homeless shelter.
Builds character.
Yeah, he wasn't even going to let hypothetical Hayden come and live with him, even though he was living at a homeless shelter.
I wasn't even letting him visit. I'm so disappointed in Hayden.
There was even hypothetical lice going around, and you were like, I don't care. I really don't want him over now.
Yeah. We need like a hypothetical Hayden redemption arc at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I love Haley, and my hypothetical son Hayden is the worst.
he's the worst. And he hasn't even done anything.
He doesn't even exist, which has been so funny.
My heart just goes out to him because the crab shell business is not a million-dollar business.
It's not a business at all. It's nothing.
Right. But I said, hypothetically, let's say Haley, your daughter, she's going through a tough time, and she's like, Dad, can I just move back in with you?
Sweetheart,
and
absolutely.
Stay for a
whatever
little bit.
You need.
Until I get my feet back on the ground.
I want to get you back on your feet, get you situated. I think that's important, you know. And look, we all have these times. Like, there's times that we need a little help. That's it.
Now, Hayden is homeless, and he's living in his car, okay? And he needs help, too. Like, he needs to get his feet back on the ground.
Dad, I haven't heard back from you for 4 years. What's going on?
Can Who's I move this? In for a little bit?
Son.
Until I get my feet back on the ground?
I think you need to
learn. You called me son? Wow.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to give you hope. I think you need to learn, some life skills here. And I think this is going to be good for you ultimately. I can't bail you out every time you're in trouble.
Dad, I've never asked for help. Haley's asked you for help 5,000 times.
Well, there's a reason for that. You're weaker than her. And
Darwinism stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Poor Hayden.
This kid.
Hayden has a rough life.
Be praying for Hayden, guys.
Yeah.
What does his mom think of him?
I would start putting in prayer requests at work. I should start doing that at my small group.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I just want to put Hayden on the prayer chain. Oh, really? Who's Hayden? Well, I can't really go into it, but just he needs it. Needs a lot of it.
He doesn't have a good dad in his life.
He has a great dad that's trying to teach him how to be a man, and he is just not doing it.
Aww, I need to convince Haley. If we have a boy, I need to convince her that we should name him Hayden.
It would be so great.
Because that's actually her brother's name. It'd be a little
bit, is?
It would have some
her brother's name is Hayden? Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
But Hayden, you know, he's like an ex-Air Force guy. Like,
he's a good Hayden?
Guy.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, but even if Hayden were a guy and he was in the Air Force, all this stuff.
Oh.
But then he just decided to change trajectory, and now he's starting to paint his nails, and he's got a lot of piercings in his ears and in his nose, and
you guys
he's dyed his hair blue.
Sure. Oh, yeah, of course he dyed his hair blue. I would
say daddy issues.
I would have him, abducted. And sent to the French Foreign Legion.
Wow.
Look, you already know how to deal with, military life. And so the French Foreign Legion is going to re-indoctrinate you into being a soldier. And you're gonna come back and you're going to be somebody that I'm proud of.
I picture you dropping him in, like, the Alaskan wilderness. And you're like, if you can get back to me, like, from here, I'll take you back in, son.
Yeah, absolutely.
What if Hayden has got it all together and then he's like, Dad, I'm going to move to Canada and I want you to come with me.
No, the two C's, Canada and California, off the mat, off the table. You move to either one of those, you're dead to me.
It's a good life. It's a good way to live.
Poor Hayden. He can't catch a break.
Dad, it's America.
He cannot.
You're
it's
dead
not.
To me.
California is not America. I'm sorry. I've lived there. It is not America.
Oh, gosh. All right.
You vote Democrat, pal, and that's it. We're done. No. All right. That's enough fun of that. All right. That's going to do it for your Aftercast for today. And thanks for being a potty. So we got our friend Andy Irwin on the show with us, and he's the guy behind the movie I Can Only Imagine, and now he has a new movie out called Ordinary Angels starring Hilary Swank, and she is great, by the way. And her passion for this film really comes through in her character, who's like this broken mess, but God still uses her to accomplish a miracle in the life of a desperate single father whose daughter is in need of a liver transplant. True story, by the way. Now, the one thing I love about you, Andy, is that your movies are not preachy. I would put this somewhere like... you got Blindside at one end, and you've got War Room at the other. You guys are ahead of Blindside on the faith, but way under War Room, you know? But it's done in a way that's like accessible and not off-putting, and it's not heavy-handed.
I think it preaches as good as any of the films that we've done.
Because I know your heart is not to water down the gospel.
No. Our heart is to be strategic. This one was really about trying to understand this everyman kind of blue-collar guy that had a relationship with God but was just burnt out.
Yep.
And he felt like he had lost faith in the church and lost faith in God really seeing him and being there for him. So it's kind of that skeptic that's outside the church walls that we want to reach.
Well, you do a great job of that, and it reached into my chest and punched me in the heart in the first 3 minutes. It's a great movie, and it will be in theaters February 23rd, and you can actually get tickets now at ordinaryangels.movie.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.